Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. What are your early impressions of Anna's personality, and what's she like as a person? Who would you get to play her in a film? Those are the questions I asked you about chapter 20. What was your favourite line from this chapter? I Am Norwegian said, Anna seems like a good, caring person. In the PNV translation, the introduction, they discussed how the character changed as Tolstoy worked on the book. At first, Anna was ugly and overweight, her personality not much better. Then she started to become more and more sympathetic, taking on better traits and leaving some of the bad ones behind. I expect that, as with Vronsky, things will happen or be said, and it will be much harder to look at her as so perfect. When Anna was introduced, her eyes were being described as piercing and grey. I immediately thought of Alexandra Daddario. Jesus. Really? Wait, is she meant to be attractive? I had this impression of her as being, like, kind of old and frumpy and unattractive. I don't know why I had that impression. Yula is a pimp said, it's hard for me to get a read. I felt like her discussion with Dolly in the previous chapter was a bit manipulative. She's certainly perceptive, though. She knows exactly what to say to Dolly. She does well to placate Kitty, who is being a bit childish in this chapter. And also, she seems to have seen through Vronsky's gift to the widow. But she did not tell Kitty about the 200 rubles. For some reason, it was disagreeable to her to think of it. She felt that there was something that had to do with her in it, and something that ought not to have been. Yeah, that line stuck out to me as well. Yula is a pimp. Like, she knew that that money wasn't really much about the victim, or the wife of the victim. It had something to do with her. He was giving that money to that lady for some reason because of her. And apparently she didn't know why, but I think it's pretty obvious he did it to impress her, right? The adaptation a few years ago had Keira Knightley play her. I love her as an actress, but that doesn't fit at all for what I'm picturing. I'm imagining someone with the body type of Alison Wright, though her face doesn't quite fit. Who's Alison Wright? Googling that just real quick. Alison Wright, English actress. I don't know anything she's from. What's her body type like? Normal? I don't know how to describe her body type. Normal. She has what appears to be a normal body. A little bit thick around the shoulders and hips. But relatively normal. I really enjoyed Anna's quip here, says Yula is a pimp. No, my dear, for me there are no balls now where one enjoys oneself, said Anna, and Kitty detected in her eyes that mysterious world which was not open to her. For me there are some less dull and tiresome. How can you be dull at a ball? Why should not I be dull at a ball? Inquired Anna. Swim said the mum fish, she said, having been once young and carefree myself, and now having been married, raised children, and have a few years under my belt, I knew exactly what Anna was saying and why Kitty didn't get it about the ball. CLT 6156 says, exactly, I'm surprised at how thoughtful this passage was from a mum's perspective. Dr. Nature 96 said, Anna seems like a very nice person, although in chapter 19 she seemed a bit cunning. But I'm also a bit suspicious of her in relation to Vronsky. Some cougar vibes, maybe. But besides that, she seems sweet. People find her and Oblonsky both quite charming. Runs in the family, I guess. She felt that there had been something in it relating personally to her that should not have been. She's perceptive, all right, very observant. Vronsky might be hitting on her again. It's possible, since he was so struck by her. I'll get Felicity Jones to play her. Felicity Jones. Name rings a bell. I'm just going to have to Google that as well. Felicity Jones. Oh, okay. Felicity Jones. Rogue One. She's in Rogue One. That's where I know her from. Okay. Righto. Cool. People come up with the most obscure actresses and actors and when you ask these questions. It's really quite funny. Chapter 21 of Anna Karenina goes like this. Oh, and actually, before I do that, sorry to just pause for a second, but I wanted to say thanks to those who have bought the Bogan War and Peace. Big thanks for that. And there was another thing I wanted to talk about, one other little announcement type thing, and it has escaped me. It's gone. Damn it. Oh, yeah. The ebook version of Bogan War and Peace is now available for 99 cents, and I also reduced the price of the paperback from $9.99 to $8.99 on Amazon. American, that's the American price. Because I just thought it's a, it just seemed like a fairer price. So yeah, it is available. And I've also corrected a couple of little spelling mistakes along the way, so that's good. It was a pretty quick turnaround. So, you know, you might still find one or two little typos, but it's pretty good. Why would I point that out? Of all the hard work it takes to make a book and all the words you get right, you always focus on the two or three. Like, you can get 50,000 words correct, and if you get one or two wrong, those are the ones you focus on. I don't know why I do that to myself. I did a good job. You should read it. Chapter 21 goes like this. Dolly came out of her room for the grown-up people's tea. Oblonsky did not appear. He had probably left his wife's room by the other door. I'm afraid you will be cold upstairs, remarked Dolly to Anna. I want to move you down, and then we shall be nearer to one another. Oh, please don't trouble about me, said Anna, scrutinizing Dolly's face and trying to discover whether a reconciliation had taken place. It will be too light for you downstairs, said her sister-in-law. I assure you that I sleep always and anywhere, like a dormouse. What are you talking about? Asked Oblonsky, entering the room from his study and addressing his wife. From his tone, both Kitty and Anna gathered that a reconciliation had taken place. I want to move Anna downstairs, only the curtain must be changed. I shall have to do it myself. No one else can do it, Dolly answered, addressing him. Goodness knows if they have quite made it up, thought Anna, on hearing her tone, which was cold and calm. Come now, Dolly, always making difficulties, said her husband. If you like, I will do it all. Yes, they must have come together again, thought. They must have come together again, thought Anna. I know how you'll do it all, answered Dolly. You will tell Matthew to do something that cannot be done and will go away yourself and he will muddle everything. And as she spoke, her usual ironical smile wrinkled at the corners of Dolly's mouth. Yes, a full reconciliation, quite complete. Thank God, thought Anna. And pleased to have been the means of bringing it about, she went up to Dolly and kissed her. Not at all. Why do you so despise Matthew and me? Said Oblonsky, turning to his wife with a slight smile. All that evening, Dolly maintained her usual slightly bantering manner towards her husband, and Oblonsky was contented and cheerful, but not to the extent of seeming to forget his guilt after having obtained forgiveness. At 9:30, an unusually pleasant and happy family conversation round the Oblonsky's tea table was disturbed by an apparently very ordinary occurrence, which yet struck them all as strange. While they were talking about their mutual Petersburg acquaintances, Anna rose suddenly. I have her photo in my album, said she, and I'll show you my Sersa's too, she added with a mother's proud smile. For toward 10:00, the time when she generally said good night to her son and often put him to bed herself before going to a ball, she felt sad at being so far from him. And whatever they talked about, her thoughts kept returning to her curly-headed Sersa. She longed to look at his portrait and to talk about him. Seizing the first opportunity, she rose and, stepping firmly and lightly, went out to fetch her album. The flight of stairs to her room went up from a landing of the well-heated front staircase. As she was coming out of the drawing room, there was a ring at the door. "Who can it be?" asked Dolly. "It is too early to fetch me, and late for anyone else," said Kitty. "Papers from the office for me, I expect," said Oblonsky. A footman ran up to announce the new arrival, who stood at the door of the stairs under a lamp. Anna looked down from the landing where she stood and at once recognized Vronsky, and a strange feeling of pleasure mixed with fear suddenly stirred in her heart. He stood in his overcoat, feeling for something in his pockets. When Anna was halfway up to the top flight, he lifted his eyes and saw her, and a look of something like embarrassment and fear came into his face. She bowed slightly and went on. She heard Oblonsky's loud voice downstairs asking him to come in, and Vronsky's low, soft voice refusing. When Anna returned with her album, he had already gone, and Oblonsky was saying that Vronsky had called to inquire about a dinner they were giving next day to a celebrity who was visiting Moscow, but that he could not be induced to come in. "He seems so queer," added Oblonsky. Kitty blushed. She thought that she alone understood why he had come to the house and why he would not come in. "He has been to our house," she thought, "and not finding me in, he guessed that I was here. And he would not come in because Anna is here, and he thought it too late." They all glanced at one another and said nothing, but began examining Anna's album. There was nothing extraordinary or strange in the fact that a man had called at 9:30 at a friend's house to ask about a dinner they were planning and that he would not come in, but it seemed strange to all of them. To Anna in particular, it seemed strange and not right. All right, there we go. Another chapter down. So, wait, let me just go back here. So, Vronsky has just rocked up at the door for no reason. Very interesting. Vronsky has a little crush on Anna, I would say. Alright, have your say about this chapter over on the subreddit. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.